Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I'm delighted to introduce international rhinoplasty expert, Professor Dario Bertuzzi. Dr. Bertuzzi is the Associate Professor for Maxillofacial Surgery and Stomatology at the University of Verona. And he's been in medicine practicing for how many years, Dario?
I think that we may say 30 years. It's not so fair, but for me, but it's 30 years.
30 years, and he's performed more than 12,000 surgical treatments of oral surgery and more than 10,000 surgical treatments under anesthesia. He's super advanced, and he's been lecturing all across the nation, in Europe, and all through the planet, actually. He is a member of the American Society of Facial Plastic Surgery and Reconstructive Surgery, the European Academy of Facial Plastic Reconstructive, the Italian Society for Maxillofacial Surgery, and he's just an international expert and definitely one of my favorite rhinoplasty surgeons. And I thought it would be wonderful to speak to you today because I've been hearing you talk all through quarantine on Zoom meetings. So it's great to talk to you directly, surgeon to surgeon. You're an otolaryngologist and head and neck surgeon by training, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, myself as well. And you're in the middle of, you were in the middle of quarantine in Italy, in Verona, and really surrounded by so much, you know, drama, intense times, and difficult situations. How have you guys come out of quarantine in Italy?
No, I think that we are actually in a very good situation, even though there were some signals that there was like a few cases, like 5 cases came from abroad and brought some new cases here, but it was like a very small number. I think that we may say that since 2 months, we are like not seeing any new case here at the university. So at the emergency care, we don't see anyone positive and here. The intensive care units were like filled by 500 patients around my area, which was a number. And actually we have only 8 patients. And among these 8 patients, we have only 2 patients positive, which are coming from the 6 cases that I will mention in what I told you. They were coming back from abroad and they were tested positive and they didn't listen to stay in isolation. And they came out and they maybe went in contact with a few people. But if I can tell you, still people have some residual fear of what means to be infected by others. We are obliged to wear masks in very crowded places. Otherwise, we are free to go without masks. In the hospital, everyone is like wearing masks and gloves and disinfecting the hands like as usual. But I can tell you that among 10,000 doctors that we are here in the area, only 1.3% got infected, but not ill. So wearing the device is very good to prevent infection.
Wonderful. The COVID-19 crisis really has brought physicians together in an international way that's been really excellent, I think. And getting your advice and expertise from Italy while you're in the throes of all the problems has been very helpful in the United States. So you guys came out with recommendations for rhinoplasty surgeons through the International Society of Rhinoplasty Experts in Europe. And what were some of the key take-home things that you're doing and that have changed your practice when you see rhinoplasty patients and when you treat them operatively?
Yeah, actually, we wrote 2 papers. One is published in the JAMA Facial Plastic Surgery, and one is published in the Journal of Cosmetic Dermatology. Both of them are advising the return, as you may say, to the normal activities in the office, but with some actual indication, which means that we are using a lot the online consultations before, so we make sure that the patients give us some information about themselves and about how they behave in the last 2 weeks, where they have been, if they were tested positive or negative, because in the area we made more than 1 million tests among 5 million people, so it's a very, very high level of testing here. We actually, as doctors, are tested every 7 days. We made the sweat and the blood harvesting. So coming to the back to the patient, when we see rhinoplasty patient, they are of course alone. They come up, they are tested with the temperature, they disinfect their hands, they are provided with the gloves, and then they are accompanied to a toilet where they change their upper glove dress. In my practice, they wear my lab-led dress, they wear a band on the hair, they wash their face, they wash their hands, and then they are provided with a new mask and new gloves. After that, they go to the photographer. The photographer take pictures, send me the pictures with the Wi-Fi, and then they wear gloves again to come to my office, and they come into the office, and then they are taking out the mask. It can be a normal surgical mask. Me, myself, when I make a consultation to them, I prefer to use the FFP2. And normally, if they have been interviewed 15 days before, we know that they have not been positive for any reason, they have not been in contact with the positive people. But anyway, if we have to make a medication or something like an internal inspection into the nose, we can make like a disinfection with the iodopodine, which is betadine in Italy, I don't know, in the United States, which is a iodine-based thing that we can provide through the nose. And also, if you dilute it one part and 10 parts with the saline solution, you can use it also in the eyes when you have to make eye surgery because it's not a damage to the eyes. After the procedure, they go in a different path and they proceed to the administration, again with the mask and with the gloves, and then they go out while people wait for them outside. It's very crucial that they are very punctual with the time. If they are not, they are canceled and rescheduled, because of course we cannot have a crowded places. This is the protocol we started 2 months ago. I can tell you that we are continuing with this protocol, and this means that we provide more time to the patient. So if I was like giving the patient 20 to 30 minutes with a consultation, now we give 1 hour. So we have the time to relax and clean up everything and reschedule it to the next appointment.
Yeah, it's definitely affected our practice a lot. So I've adopted many of those practices that you've discussed. So it's been also quite helpful to have everybody's advice from around the world, but definitely using Betadine. So we're pre-screening patients, checking temperatures, you know, separating the appointment timings. And then we're actually using UVC light to sterilize the rooms after patient leaves, which is very helpful. We're cleansing the face with Betadine. And for rhinoplasty in particular, swabbing inside the nostrils and that kind of thing. Has your caseload come back to normal in the operating room?
No, it's not normal in the operating room. First of all, whatever the patient, we have to make a surgery. We make them test and swab. So they cannot be operated if they don't do a test 2 days before, and they are recommended to stay home before they come to the OR. Now it's coming a little more easy, a little bit easier now at the hospital, because as well as they are tested, they get access to the hospital. But when you do in private practice, we are so strict because we don't want people to get infected, because they share some spaces, some corridors in the rooms, because it's not the traditional hospital. So we are very strict with them. But time by time, we are going back to normal. At the beginning, we are covering the face with a big cap, and then another layer, two gloves, two dresses, mask, whatever. Now is a little bit less, strict.
So initially, you guys were covering the entire patient's head with a plastic tent, basically, when you're doing surgical rhinoplasty. Is that still happening?
No more.
No more. It's interesting, as we progress and we have more comfort with dealing with patients, we're relaxing our standards subconsciously or consciously a little bit, just realizing that it's quite safe to be in the same room as the patient and at arm's length. Psychologically, anyway, I feel like I feel much more relaxed than when I first started injecting.
Yeah, as well.
Do you remember?
As well as the patients are decreasing, we see that the power of the virus is decreasing also, and maybe in October, November, but at the moment I think people are a little bit more relaxed. At the beginning there was a lot of fear, big fear.
Have you had restaurants reopen in Italy and out?
Absolutely, yes. They are open. They are open, but the problem is that they have to keep the distance between one table and the other. So some of them they keep closed because they are not able to provide, like if they have 20 tables and now they have only 4 tables, they are not able to provide the service with the same costs. And so they prefer to keep closed. So I was telling you before that on Sunday I came back from the beach, and because I spent 3 days in the weekend there, and then went, and it was really very crowded there. But now I came back to Verona, and Sunday evening it looked like that it was Wednesday or Thursday evening, so nobody was outside, and a few very big restaurants and important restaurants were closed because of that. The economical drop is so big, I think. And here they are saying that the biggest economical drop will come in September, because in September many companies will not be able to provide a salary to patients, so probably 30% of people will lose their job,
Really?
20 to 30. Yeah. And it's like something that it will happen in all Europe, not only in Italy.
And the tourism is drastically affected too, I'm sure.
Absolutely. We are seeing, we normally have the opera season here in Verona, so people from abroad, they're coming from all over the world. It's 1 million of people coming from the opera. And we have the Garda Lake where people are coming for surfing, like in California, because there are two constant winds in the morning and the afternoon. So there are all the people like drinking milk and a croissant and waiting for the wind. But now everything is completely off. So if you see, the opera has been canceled and the economy has dropped so much. But this didn't happen to plastic surgery. I can tell you that patients are like praying to come and get the treatments, even though they have to wear masks. They tell me, don't worry about like a small bruising hematoma, because now we are lucky we have the masks. So please treat me.
Yes, exactly. So you haven't seen a drop in your push patients coming in, and the amount of people wanting operative surgeries as well has been about the same, huh?
Not at all, not at all. No drop.
Yeah, same
Maybe
here.
an increase. Maybe an increase. We are so lucky because as plastic surgeon or facial plastic surgeon, we are really so lucky. Because people, I think they stayed at home and they stay inside and they didn't spend any money for 2 or 3 months. And then the first thing that they are getting back is to socialize and to get their faces like a bit better, because the psychological effect is very important. So they don't even buy a bag, maybe, but they want some botulinum toxin or whatever in order to see them a little bit better.
I think we've figured out that we don't need any more purses, but we'd rather have self-confidence,
Yeah,
right? With
of course,
self-investment.
absolutely. Yeah, that's very true, because it's like a form of respect to
Yeah.
ourselves and the people.
Well, you've been very industrious over the quarantine. You've written 2 papers, and you're coming out with a new technology to do laser sculpting and contouring of the nasal cartilages. So that is so interesting. Tell me a little bit about this new technology, which is going to really revolutionize how we perform rhinoplasty, the ability to shave and contour cartilage. It's like science fiction almost. What do you call
Absolutely.
it, and how did you come up with this idea?
So we call it LAR, LAR. This is laser-assisted rhinoplasty. It's published in PRS like 1 month ago, like 15 days ago. And by the way, the reviewers told us that it's a bunch of fresh air in the field of rhinoplasty, because it's really coming out with something new. It means that instead of reshaping the cartilages by cutting them and reorienting them with the sutures, which is giving some steps in special areas where the skin is so thin, we are like with a new tip in a laser device, a special laser device with a special wavelength. We are like vaporizing the cartilage and the bone also. It can provide osteotomies with no harm, no big trauma. There is no bleeding, and the people recover in 15 days. We cannot do everything for sure, because we are still testing which cases has the benefit to be treated with this laser rhinoplasty. But it's amazing the way that we recover. We can see the patient that recovers in 15 days with no hematomas, so many times, and no swelling. So imagine that if you reshape the alar cartilages, you just have to thin the other cartilage with the laser, but you don't have to cut. And so every anatomical link is kept in place, so you can just reshape it after the laser.
Very interesting. How do you think that's going to change your rhinoplasty practice? This year, I think my practice has changed so much because I'm doing so much non-surgical rhinoplasty using fillers and being able to really fine-tune the appearance of the nose non-invasively. Do you think this is going to be something you do in the office setting or still under general anesthesia?
No, I think just sedation, it's and local anesthesia is more than enough to perform this this technique. And me also, we do a lot of, by the way, we published last year a paper on medical rhinoplasty with a special patient grid with which we make records of the places where we inject and customize treatment. But now we publish with the IG prime filler, very IG prime, 25 milliliter per milligram. We perform the non-surgical rhinoplasty. And we published a paper in Aesthetic Surgery Journal just 2 days ago. It came out on PubMed. And it's very interesting because it stays in place a lot and it's very viscous, and we can provide a lot of patients a different perspective because they can see immediately the result and they can go to their social life, back to their social life very quickly, and it stays in place for 12 months. So it's very good. And in any way, they can also imagine the result of the surgical treatment, so they can start with the non-surgical and they can go to the surgical rhinoplasty afterwards.
So you're using high G prime product, 25 milligrams of hyaluronic acid per ml, and that's what's brand name of Volux? Is that the Volux?
It's Volux. Yeah, we use the Volux. Volux is very, very good. I can tell you that among the different companies that I've used, like all the different companies that we know, like Teoxan, Volvema, whatsoever, I think that this filler is the one that gives me the best results in terms of syringe handling and smoothness of extrusion and ability to stay in place and ability not to give like swelling and recalling water and giving edema to the patient. So what you do is what you see, and they like it very much. Yeah.
I've been using a lot of Restylane Lift personally. I haven't. Yeah. We don't have Volux in the United States, so I'm using Restylane Lift, which also has a high G prime.
Yeah, it's also very good. Yeah, yeah. I used that, and it was very good. But at the moment, I am able to provide, like every one of us, you know, if you learn with a special technique, then you are able to provide constant results. So that's why I continue to use this, because we have a very big experience. We tried to test this material at the beginning, and now we know how to use it.
Wonderful. How many patients do you have in your report that you've written up here?
We have treated more than 100 patients with Volux, and we are now publishing. We are going to publish the long-term results because it's more than 1 year that we used in the nose. So the next paper will be 1 month of the long-term results of our first patients.
That's so amazing. How on earth do you have so much energy to produce so many papers? It's such a labor of love to write up these papers, and you're writing like one paper every 2 weeks. It's incredible.
I can tell you that here we have a person that published, he's only 56, and he published 1,200 papers. I don't know how he does, because he never sleeps at night.
Wow.
I'm not like that. I have 200 papers published, but you see, we have residents here, and I share with them my experience, and I like them to learn, so they help me in doing that, and this is the way that we are able to manage a number of papers and the books. Also, we already published a book, which is Aesthetic Facial Anatomy with Ali Pireyesh and Zoltan Heinery, which is a dermatologist. And this book is extraordinary because we have fantastic anatomic images, and we cover all the field of non-surgical treatments.
That's amazing. I'll have to take a look at that. What advice do you have for injectors out there as injection rhinoplasty becomes more popular? Of course, it has its dangers. Do you have any thoughts or advice for people wanting to learn this procedure?
Yeah, so we do, of course, as in every area of the world, do courses for that, because being a surgeon is very, let's say, in braces, easy for me to make like this kind of operation, because surgical treatment is a little bit more complicated and it takes a learning curve of 10 years, 15 years. And then, as Bachmann Gairon says, it's like the golf. As well as you think that you have learned everything, it's like you make a shot and you think that you have to restart all over again.
Yes.
So rhinoplasty is like that. If you look at the papers in the literature, from 5 to 15% of the best rhinoplasty surgeon, they have to make touch-ups in the nose, which we have to tell the patient when we treat them. And what I can teach to people that are listening is that we have to be very conservative, very slow, use the proper material, make a proper selection of the patients, and know very well anatomy. We have to know that non-surgical rhinoplasty is a technique of reshaping the nose. Is not a technique anatomy. So not everything is possible. And I recommend them not to treat with the surgical treated noses, because it can be a danger otherwise, because the anatomy has been changed. And you know that rhinoplasty with non-surgical treatment can give us very, very bad problems. Away from the skin necrosis and swelling, we can have blindness. So it's very important that the people know what they are doing and where they are doing.
Yeah, I think as a surgeon, we have a unique perspective, like having been under the skin and touched the cartilage and understanding the feel of where the needle is actually touching. So it's looks easy on videos and on Instagram, but the technical knowledge, like you said, the 15, 20 years of actually doing surgical noses is what makes your results really good as an injector, because you understand placement, basically, using filler as a cartilage graft almost.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, it's so wonderful to talk to you all the way from Verona, Italy. I can't wait to come and visit at some point. You must come visit me in Los Angeles, too. Yeah.
I will for sure. As soon as we can travel, I will. The first trip will be to Los Angeles, for sure.
And my first trip would love to be back to Italy.
Lovely.
Yeah. So I have so much respect for all your amazing work and continue to be an international leader. And really, it's helped us a lot in the United States to get the perspective of what Italy has gone through with COVID-19 and your rhinoplasty experience. So I wish you all the best, much good health, and you have a wonderful day. And thank you so much for tuning in. Tell all of our listeners, too, where can they find you on Instagram and your various channels?
Yeah, my internet site is www.dario.bertossi.com. And in the Instagram, I'm Professor Dario Bertossi. Very easy.
There you go.
And the same is in Facebook. So if somebody has to make me questions or whatever, it would be a pleasure to share our little knowledge with everybody.
Wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that Italy is doing better, that you have very few cases. And unfortunately, Los Angeles has a resurgence of cases and the United States is not doing so well right now. But I think that we can all turn the corner if we follow those simple guidelines, really. So
I'm so sorry for that. I can tell you whatever we may say, but I can pray for you and pray that you are like a month behind, no?
Yes.
So if you just see our experience, the therapies are different, so you can feel a little bit safer than us, because at the beginning people were dying, we didn't know what to do. Now we know a little bit. So just wait, because it takes time. Like every epidemic, you know that 70-80 days is the time to make the epidemic go down. So just a matter of time, and unfortunately we are losing friends or people, but we have seen that the most of the people that have died here were people with comorbidities. The statistics show us that we were over 65, 70 with comorbidities. The maximum amount of people that died were over 75 and 80. So luckily young people can feel a little bit safer.
Yeah, definitely. And don't forget, guys, to tune in to our podcast every Tuesday and every Friday. We do a 5-Minute Friday and a Tuesday regularly with Beauty Bites. And you can find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And check out my injection rhinoplasty technique as well. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.